Okay. In terms of
Benadoa.
No, April, in an April 23rd reading, I think you said something about cell regeneration.
Benadoa.
Which means what?
Mistakes.
Yeah, and okay, good. What is the process of cell regeneration that I could know about and write and talk about?
Okay, the RNA polypeptides are going to start reacting differently with nucleuses. And that's going to show up. You're going to start noticing. It's already happening, but you don't notice. You see? So therefore, then it isn't.
Yeah. And does that mean that we are evolving or transforming to be able
Always.
To regenerate?
Always. You're actually doing it now, darling.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do when they start noticing, especially now, not in your old haggard generations, because they're not going to have it, but we're talking about the new young generations that has an appendix removed, and then they're going to, then in a matter of 5 to 10 years, they have an issue of something, and they have the medical record chipped on them, and they look and they go, well, it can't be an appendix because you had an appendectomy, and they look and see that they've grown a new appendix. It is necessary. Then.
Yes. The appendix.
You say it's necessary now. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See, you say it's necessary now, but the science doesn't agree with you.
Right.
But see that, so we have to be careful how we qualify that, because you're like, well, that's not new. I've known that all along. Well, okay, good, you do, but they don't.
Yeah.
Regeneration will allow that to be. Okay, now, the new side of, with bone structure, they're doing tremendous works focusing on the way that the bonding of the calcium that makes the, basically creating a growing bone. The same thing that allows a femur to heal, which is, you know, your biggest bone, your most, that holds the most weight, you know, strongest, biggest bone kind of thing. You'll break a hip before you break a femur.
Right.
Basically. Well, they're looking at how that bone differs from, say, a fibia. Why is it different? How do you break a fibia and not a tibia? And it's not to lick. Sometimes you can hit a fibia and the tibia will break. You know what I'm saying? Like in the mashing, gyrating, whatever.
Right.
That's why those are different. And the difference becomes significant as far as how that structure is. So if you could do an exoskeletal research on femurs, you could have leading edge that would make those, especially that are prone to breaking bones. They try that with that, what you see Sally Field pushing the Boniva once a month, estrogens, calcium, something. That's a little foolishness, but the science, well, the next phase might be effective. The point that you could not harden. See, that's the problem. You don't want to harden the bones. You actually want to make them like babies and make them softer so that they don't break, they bend.
Yeah, and that's the difference between the fibia and the tibia. The fibia is much more flexible.
Exactly. Precisely. And if you could get that, because like little kids, it's very difficult. You can bounce a baby all over the place and they don't break stuff just because their bones haven't started the calcification process yet.
Well, I mean, simply in my magnesium world, isn't magnesium one of the answers to making bones more flexible?
Yes. It actually allows the porous bones to be more resilient to shatters and breaking. So we said that a little different way, you know. Because, see, you can't make the bone denser. Because if you make it denser, then it's going to shatter. But if you make it more porous, then you have osteoporosis. Well, that's pretty bad, do you get a light femur that's super strengthened? Make it more flexible, or make the bearing that it holds more, change the structure. You know, okay, now we have an example if you want it. You know when they do a bone marrow biopsy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they pound it into the hip because that's the easiest place for it to not be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it hurts. It doesn't matter what, it doesn't matter how much viscous lidocaine you inject. It hurts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that's a good place to do that because it's forgiving.
Okay, yeah.
All right, well, what if you could have the whole bone structure be forgiving? Now, when the whole thing becomes forgiving, then guess what happens? You could be in some kind of perilous thing, chop an arm off, and with a little bit of allowing, you can regrow bone, muscle, tissue, dirt. Well, you're going to have to graft a little the dermis to protect it long enough for it to be.
Because
it's not going to grow out of a nub.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'll have a stasis in which you are in, and it can allow that to be.
Mm-hmm.
With the basic, the material. They haven't figured that out yet, but they're working on it. It's all right.
Amazing. Yeah. So with making the femur, making a lighter femur, making it more flexible, and then you said making the bearings that hold it, you mean the joint parts?
No, but the structure of the rig, we're talking about cell regeneration.
Yeah.
That's what got us off this rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
The bearings are what you use to calculate the density of the structure. That measuring ruler, that change.
Mm-hmm.
In order to read, that's why you can't grow a new bone.
No, I need more information on that to get it.
I know. Yes, you do. We're patient. We'll give it to you.
Yeah.
We're talking about cell regeneration.
Yeah.
And the rules that you got right now that you use to gauge and go by what is does not allow regrowing a bone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can break a bone. It can heal.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't make new bone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Correct.
So far.
Mm-hmm.
But if that changed and you reconditioned and looked at how it was, like the green, what do you call it in babies that the bones are easy? It's a green word. Green, short version was that the bones aren't hard yet.
Right. Well, I know that there's a green stick fracture, but I don't
That's
know.
That's it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, green stick fractures occurs almost exclusively during infancy and childhood when the bones are soft. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and the analogies from green wood. I didn't know that. That's cool. So, but if that changed and you reconditioned, and so what we're doing is we're going back to infant bone.
Well,
partly.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Because if you could understand that, then you wouldn't replace the hip. You'd just grow a new one.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is that we have that bone possibility in our experience. So why can't we get that back?
You can't. If you change the rules that you go by, the judge, and we have to amputate, so it's over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then into the prosthesis department stat.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but if you could have a stasis that was provided that would allow it. Back in the day, you know, if you had the bends, they'd put you in an iron lung.
Yeah, so that you've mentioned stasis now twice. Tell me about that a bit.
You change the meme in which the rules are made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense? The stasis. What's the status mm-hmm. of the stasis?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't. The status right now, the stasis is you can't grow any bones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't grow new skin. If you can't, we can graft skin. That if it can take, we can do okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what is. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about a new dynamic of being able to grow bones and muscles and tissues and leaders and tendons and synaptic nerve strands.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole Monty. So how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You can transplant a human heart, but you can't grow a new finger. We're confused.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just because of the stasis makes rules and regulations that say that's not appropriate, that's not available, that's not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now your chip body's going to get alive here, and it's going to say, no. We can replace it with titanium hinged things.
Yeah.
That are better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now you've distracted again and trying to get the chemical body to start voting for the chip body. And then that's, of course, used through the vessel of the TV body. So you can take this little pill and dance like a kid again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there you go. Bob always likes a little body work in there. So.
Body work. There we go. Very nice. Yeah,
we're talking about something new now.
Yeah, and that's I just finished that sentence. So this ability of the way the RNA is going to interact with the nucleus is going to allow that to happen. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Because there are multi dimensions. Now here's the next phase. Now we're leaving point.
Yeah, got it.
Just to be clear, and from this point, we're going to go to a new point.
Yeah, okay.
So if you get confused, it'll be because we've changed the subject by answering this question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The proof that there are parallel worlds is in the science of the dynamic of regeneration of the RNA interaction with the nucleus of cells. Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
In a proton accelerator, when they're trying to find an atom to split,
mm-hmm.
to cause fission,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
those atoms will, and actually the neutrons around the proton, and see, they bind and make new things, and then it all kind of tangles up. But the reality of what they've discovered is that those neutrons disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And show up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. They do. So
and they've proven that. Well, where do they go? Hold on now. Hold my girdle, Myrtle. We Houston, we have a problem. Get off the table, Mabel. That $2 was for beer. You've just changed everything now.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the scientist...
Wow.
Can't disprove the thing that they are proven.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know the answer to it, but they don't know where they go.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lucy, somebody's got some splaining to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the splaining is that there are parallel worlds, other universes, mirroring, if you like that word, if you do, good. If you don't,
yeah.
Shoot the feather. We don't have a problem with it. And we're not going to use it as a focus point of challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a word. It doesn't mean anything because you don't even understand the concept. So you're not even qualified to fight about it. So we'll just use mirrored.
Okay.
Now we're doing that for others listening. That's not for you, but for others listening. So you know, prove it otherwise and we'll talk.
Right.
Okay. But right now we're working on hypothesis of explaining the changes that are imminently within the boundaries of your personal allowance.
Mm-hmm. So you said there are parallel worlds mirroring, and that's what
yeah.
when the neutrons disappear and show up again, that they go somewhere, so they're
correct.
Going to a parallel world. Wow.
Correct. And that's from there's no rules regarding this.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't mess it up yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you don't get lost in the labyrinth of your mind, no matter how much clue we give you or string.
Because
mm-hmm. you notice that back to the thing of the clue. The clue doesn't give you the answer. It allows you to make a choice freely because you have an exit strategy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what most creation involves.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do if you couldn't fail? Well, I can't do this because I might fail.
Mm-hmm.
And the outcome would displease me more than the securing of the success of it. You see? So, but then you undo that as well. But regardless, that's just the human creator. Okay, you notice how we just seamlessly went into a whole new rabbit hole from there?
Yeah. Very good.
But it applies because now with your the magnetron technology, and we're not giving you all of it because you're getting classified now.
Okay.
You got to be a C4 or better to hear this. So this may be a little, this may be redactable. Or let it lay a bit and then it won't matter.
So magnetrons are those powerful magnets that mess around.
That encompass a magneto.
Yes.
Okay, and those are polarity fields that are not understood. So what you're going to find out is that if you harness a magnetron focused beam, particle beam, you then can create or affect the separation between portaled worlds.
Wow.
Because, see, you've undone all your rules.
Wow. Okay, so these powerful magnets that are, messing with polarity fields?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I guess I got it wrong. You said magnetrons were powerful magnets using a magneto, and they're...
It protects, the magnetron protects the magneto because it's unknown and uncontrolled. So you can't just have it wide open because it messes you up.
It's
protection.
And what, the polarity fields that are not understood, how is the magnetron affecting those polarity fields?
The particle field that it disturbs opens portals if the portal has already been established. Because it would be like, it would pull, okay, let's say it this way, and it won't be right, but you'll understand it. If you had the right magnetron, you could pull things out of a black hole. And that's not exactly right, but now you understand it. But you don't even know where the black hole goes, so you don't know what you're bringing back. I want to bring back things that went through it. Well, once something goes through it, it's somewhere else. So how do you know where the else it is to go back to find it to bring it back?
Okay, so people are working with this magnetron and the polarity fields, but do they know anything about portaled worlds? They do.
One of those places is on your little island.
No.
Not very far from you.
Is that worth looking into?
No, you can't. You aren't supposed to know that. And that's when they'd ask for your classification.
Oh, okay.
And you not having one would make you usurping the bond of silence within the ranked world of information age technology.
Yeah, it's more valuable than physical. Okay, so the portal worlds, are some of these facilities being used to work to open portals?
Yes. It's a byproduct. They didn't mean to do that. They were just trying to understand why the magnetic field or polarity of the Earth is changing. When the reality is this work and technology they're doing is what's actually kind of helping change it. But it's always been vacillating a bit. It's always been vacillating a bit, but you just now know this thing. That's the only difference. I mean, there's been stuff going on forever that nobody bothered to notice.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they notice and it's the new big thing.
And you're saying by the noticing and by the using of this technology, it's creating more polarity changes.
Yes. Yes, because the human creator is giving it their undivided attention. And that's one of those essence building blocks of 3-2-1 liftoff that brings it into a new place. JW's clocks have changed. It's a different song. It's kind of way fun.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
He doesn't understand it. He's scared to death, but he'll get over it. Or not.
Yeah. It stopped me if I'm getting into classified, but apparently there was a lot of technology brought onto our island here.
Yes.
With the big ferry business.
Just leave it alone and say yes.
Okay.
Because, see, now you're not adding anything if we're agreeing before you do it. So, yes.
Did that have to do with,
Yes.
Okay.
And they thought it was trying to keep up with weather patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's what they told you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then some people thought it was, you know, for even more nefarious purposes.
Well, yes, in the beginning it was.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning it was, but it wasn't effective for that.
Mm-hmm.
It was effective. It's like Rogaine. They did it for heart palpitations, and it ended up growing hair.
Yeah.
The nefarious work was that, and then the outcome was different. So they repurposed it for a more fun dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How many people have gone through the portal?
None.
Are they planning to send someone?
No. No. See, this is no. They're in the first trimester. They haven't even birthed it yet.
Oh, are they just thinking of using it to bring things back out of a black hole?
No, dear. We said that was inappropriate. That wasn't correct, but it was the way you could understand it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not exactly right. It's something. It's just like any technology. The CAT scan, MRI, is the same way. It was this fleeting hope of a gleam of something wonderful. And now even little doctor's offices have their own MRI machines.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Mm-hmm. And then the slicing of those pictures so you can see these little aneurysms and all these little shrinkly, biggly, big bits in your body. And that's why most doctors hate whole body scans, because they always show everything wrong, and there's always something wrong.
I know.
But the science is good, and the science is there. They just can't control the outcome of what it sees.
Yeah.
It's way too much information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why we said this way. It would be like if you could have a technology that could pull things out of black holes, that would parallel what we're trying to describe.
Mm-hmm.
But that's way more information than the average bear is interested in, you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But once they get that down, then they're going to notice the byproduct of it is that when we activate this field, this shows up in our experience.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla is the closest human so far, with a little help from his friends, that understood the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone were to look closely at those research documents that are available, Seattle, they would be amazed.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're stored.
Yeah, I gather that. And when you say a little help from his friends, is that his psychic?
German. Yeah, German, channel? Russians. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Torquia?
Is that the name of a person?
Anislav Torquia.
Uh-huh. Okay. With cell regeneration,
I'm so sorry. That was not classified, and we were trying to cut you off and answer it, but it won't make any sense until you ask the question. So, we're sorry, we digress.
With cell regeneration and the way, is it just the shift in our world that's causing the RNA nucleus to...
No.
Shift in the RNA nucleus?
Well, because they're starting to notice that's what it's always been. How does blood clot?
You implied that there was something different about the way the RNA relates to the nucleus.
Yes. And it always has been able to do that. You just never noticed.
And as we start to notice it and put more attention on it, then we activate it more.
Then you create a stasis chamber. in which this, what you call jelly, gelatin, slime ooze. The olden days, they'd call it slippery elm ooze.
Mm-hmm.
You have this jelly consistency that will promote the recycling or recirculating that allows cell generation to show up in the form of new bone growth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now the stasis chamber, I still don't have that. Is that where you...
Like a power lung or something that they put you in. They'll pin you up for the first days and test it, and it'll be with a spur. They'll start with a spur, a bone spur, in the bottom of the ball of the foot, and they'll put it in the stasis business, and regrow that heavy bone at the bottom, the way the and then in your wrist, with the synovial glands and where those attach and how it feeds and it lubricates the joints,
mm-hmm.
and the little bitty things where it won't matter, but it'll be leading edge.
Mm-hmm.
Your sports world, the ones making, you know, if you're making $30 million a year to pitch a ball,
mm-hmm.
Or a skin of a pig, and you bang up an elbow or something, you're going to be a prime candidate, because if it costs a couple of million dollars, that's okay, because now you can throw the ball again.
Mm. So they'll put a chamber around a body part. They'll start with
in the beginning
appendages and put it in a chamber. Yeah,
in a small little bitty thing.
I mean, you know, we knew about newts regenerating forever. So it is surprising that they haven't done more of this.
Exactly. When it's certainly available, they just haven't realized that, well, now you really want to have some fun. Here's where they're going with it.
Mm.
Here's where they're going with it. The time that it takes to regenerate a bone,
mm-hmm.
if they figured out their neutron particle fields, mm-hmm. they could send you to another world, have it done instantly,
mm-hmm.
come back to this world, and then it's called outpatient surgery.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But that's a, almost a little too much sugar for a dime.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all leaning that way.
Mm-hmm.
And when's that going to be exactly? Well, as soon as you relax and allow and align it and keep having contrast regarding it and mm-hmm. keep opening up your new worlds of communicative skills,
mm-hmm.
call it social skills, that allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some cream in the churn right now. Do you know what a churn is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the dasher is the contrast.
Mm-hmm.
And when you dash whole milk, you get butter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, and the cream comes to the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens within your society.
Mm-hmm.
And the byproduct that's left over is called buttermilk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not as prized as cream, correct?
Correct.
But it's important because, you know, cornbread and buttermilk, you don't get much better than that. And if you had cornbread and cream, it really wouldn't do you very well.
Uh-huh.
So it has its place, and it's just that sieving process. Isn't that interesting, a sieving process?
Mm-hmm.
Because once you run that through, you have to run it through a cheesecloth to get the heavy particulates out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, when we use this analogy, you don't have any problem of any disconnection. You go, oh, yeah, and then they run it through a cheesecloth, and it gets all those heavy solids out, and boom, 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 and it's just a simple process.
Mm-hmm.
See, the wheat, wait a minute.
Yeah, don't go into another example. Bring it back to what you were exampling for.
For this proton and neutron accelerators.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a sieving.
Mm-hmm.
And it opens the process for the dasher and the churn, and then once you get that, then you got to sieve it. So if you had your DNA particle, now let's go to Gene Roddenberry, since we'll change on you again while we're changing.
Okay.
Gene Roddenberry developed on the Starship Enterprise this thing called a transporter.
Mm-hmm.
And what that did was it memorized all your DNA strands in your physicalness.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take those particles and separate them Mm-hmm. And then they could beam them to the planet's surface or to another ship or to a whatever, whatever. Then and it would be reassembled there.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that technology was.
Yeah.
And now it's just now catching up to being potentially understood.
And by millions of people seeing that happen, they're
excuse me. Much easier to activate that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just like your recorder, your cell phone flip, beam me up, Scotty kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
Same song.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's pretty heavy, relax, and allow there, isn't it?
Well, no. It basically catches you by default.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you talk to the right, depending on with whom you're having conversations, they go, oh, yes, we absolutely understand mm-hmm. the viscosity of those parameters.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they understand the difference and how to separate it. And then it's like, okay, then that applies to this theory. But then you start changing the dynamic of the theories that are.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're doing something very different because now you're undoing the thing that you use to gauge of how you are doing.
Oh. Uh-oh.
That's why they say it one step forward and two step back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's where that kind of comes from, I guess. Is this.
Mm-hmm.
Way to say it.
Okay.
But it's not a problem.
Wow. Okay. And a lot of this, all this information and finding out all the possibilities, I guess that would just not have been possible without the internet. Or not as possible. Just
Sorry.
The knowledge, the information, well, the TV body and chip body, you know, people creating these Star Trek, Star Wars, and...
No, that was done before the Internet, long before the Internet, and it focused everybody up into a place to where they could, even consider the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
People used to sit around and watch the radio, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they focused at a certain time, or they were congealed at a certain focus point of hearing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the War of the Worlds almost was a War of the Worlds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it was a just a play, fictitious thing that sent everybody into their bomb shelters.
Yeah, right. So, yeah.
Actually, the Internet undoes more than it does anything else. It numbs everybody to such a point. There are things that come on your... Well, you don't have a TV, but if you had a TV, there's things that would come on your TV that your mother would just... She had seen all the body parts, and it would have just shocked her to no end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they show stuff now that's just way beyond invasion of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And the motivations regarding it. Well, all that did, darling, was numb it.
Yeah, gotcha.
All that did was numb it. For example, human genitalia for you is no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and you could look at it and poke it or look at it or change it or examine it or doctor it or grease it or whatever it is you do to it, and it wouldn't be any different than if Bob had a splinter in his foot that nobody could see.
Right.
No big deal. Well, for others that were into that position, now the same thing with sexuality and the whole body and the fetishes and all these different parameters, it's so much available, to the point that it becomes a numbing effect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, to sleep with an animal or have intercourse with an animal, oh, well, that's just bestiality. You can see all that you want to on the Internet if that's your pleasure. Well, that's a little strange. than most humans.
Well, I was thinking more of being able to access scientific articles on the internet. And
well, good luck with that, because who's the judge of that?
Yeah.
Who says that's appropriate? Who says it's not? Mm-hmm. Gene Roddenberry at least had a focused audience that was paying attention to who was getting beamed up, and she's going to blow Captain because we've given her all she's got.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that was
that focused. Were you trying to be Scotty there?
Yeah, giving you a little bit of his of his Germanism.
Yeah. Okay, so yes,
so it numbed it.
None, and you're right, I know that. Okay, good.
So has it helped or has it hurt? Well, we don't know and we don't care.
Right.
Because it is what it is. And now nobody's paying attention, and that's why your movie makers are starting to have issue, because nobody really has time to go see the movies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Between everything and bombarding you to the point that every movie that's ever been, and you know there's been several, but now you have access to every movie that's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And J.W.'s new technology, he is just not dumbfounded, but a little overwhelmed that he now has, on every TV, access to about 2.5 million movies.
Oh, my God.
That are on demand at any given moment, at any given time, that he can start and stop and pause and do whatever he wants to do.
Wow.
And there are already banks sitting there ready, separate. They could probably operate them without electricity because it's really not been much of an issue lately. And it's almost overwhelmed that position, but that's the blanket of the new exercising. Mm-hmm. And it takes forever even just to sift through the categories to figure out what is available.
Uh-huh.
Well, it becomes so limitless that you get to a point where, you know what, I just didn't watch nothing. Is there not a book on the shelf that I've read that I want to read?
Yeah, it's the overload point.
The overload point is very significant because you have your market so dispersed, it gone with the wind was a great big hit because there wasn't anything else competing.
Mm-hmm.
There was no other movie that was in competition when Gone with the Wind made its debut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
None. That was the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way it was gauged is did you go or didn't you?
Yeah.
And there was only kind of two people, the ones that had seen it and the ones that were going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
So that's a focus point. And actually it was more powerful than having that. Now you have even cartoons. Well, we just don't even understand the idea of cartoons that would have a mature audience rating.
Mm-hmm.
It's cartoons. For goodness sake. But then you have this, they call it an Adult Swim, in which you have cartoons, apparently that the old folks are watching cartoons because the little kids don't watch that foolishness. It's a little too nasty for them. They don't care to engage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have an allure.
Wow. So.
Because then that sets up a new miscegenation of why. See, that's the thing that nobody, if you notice now, nobody's actually saying why about anything anymore.
Uh-huh.
Some mama goes home and kills her kids. They don't ask why. She's just having a bad day.
Uh-huh.
Or some jihadist goes in and blows himself up or sends his kid to blow up somebody. Oh, well, they don't say this. There's no why anymore. Mm-hmm. There's no dynamic of why. Why is what's being eluded.
Mm-hmm.
But why is what was the whole basis of contrast that caused creation to even be embraced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's always expects very, who is important, what, when, oh my God, don't miss the when, this just in, news go, you know, just in, when, now, it's just in, but nobody says why, nobody, the why is losing any focus because people just take it as, oh well.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it because you've asked why so many times and you never get a straight answer?
No, because they get a straight answer, but they don't. Then, why does this experiment not work? Well, because this is out of whack, this is out of whack, this is a false premise, this is this place, and you're asking from a place that you can't get the answer to. So rather than embrace it to figure that out, you just let it be as is.
So, the why.
That's a simplified version of it, of course.
Right. So you're saying why, the answer to the why is too complex for people to get?
Embrace.
Oh, yeah.
It's easier just because 2 seconds later, a whole new thing's going to have to be the embrace. So why not wait on that? Then you can pick your poison.
It changes and it's complex, yeah.
Okay. Now, what's your newest update on your H1N1?
Well, some people are in, Massachusetts, they're saying they're going to have mandatory vaccinations and then, you know, give people fines if they don't take them and all kinds of stuff, but it hasn't passed the Senate, so everyone gets all worked up because, mass is going to have mandatory and we're all going to die. So it's continuing fear-mongering as of, I'm just looking at H1N1 as of...
now.
As of now. The schools, because everybody's in school now, they're using the schools as testing sites, but they haven't finished testing to see if the vaccine is safe enough to even use.
They haven't identified the virus enough to even grow a culture to see if the strain's going to be effective against it or not.
Yes, and that's one of the things I did read, that they it's weakening so much that it's not even effective as a vaccine. The virus itself is weakening. So they didn't keep it strong enough, long enough to make it hurt enough people so that they could vaccinate against it.
Because, you know why? Because the human creator's got a hold of it. It's like, well, great, it's always the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine, so I'm good.
Mm-hmm. So
and being good, guess what? They eliminated the pigs flying.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about the H1N1 is they aren't testing for the actual virus anymore. The World Health Organization said, well, let's not bother testing for it. Who? Who's on first? And
we couldn't resist. We're sorry.
Right. So they just assume anybody that has anything right now, it's H1N1.
Well, it was the same thing when anybody was traveling with the avian flu and any plane going and anything, any ship flying. No, wait, ships don't fly, but anything going about was the case. Even on your ships, they had those mysterious ship problems like the Legionnaires issue and all these different things, of course.
Yeah.
You see, because that's just how that shows up, and then it kind of withers away. Why don't they have Legionnaires disease anymore? What happened?
So anyway, it's all about the schools and, you know, trying to protect the children from a fate worse than death. So what does ION have to say about H1N1, or will we just start calling it H1N2?
Well, just like your prophylactic antibiotics, they'll lose their flavor as quickly as they start administering them.
Mm.
You're in the 16th generation now of a micro antibiotic?
Yeah, true.
So, therefore, the antibiotic is having to get stronger. Well, when it gets stronger, then it kills a more of the normalcy of what's your back to your gram positive and negative, which is just going to go away pretty quickly because you can't get there from it. It doesn't make much difference anymore, you see, as far as which probiotic you would want to choose, because they don't talk about probiotics.
No, not at all.
But if they did, then all of a sudden you'd be gaining back of a healthy balance. The same one with your T cell counts and your immune system and how it accepts or declines the newest splash of degradation that they're embracing at the moment.
So anything to be said about H1N1? On my side of the world, I'm just saying it's not going to affect me or anyone I know, and then, which some people do believe, but then they put in this so-called mandatory vaccination program that is scaring the whole other group of people.
Well, it actually activates it in the human being.
Activates what? The virus?
H1N1 virus.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's actually what it does.
Mm-hmm.
so you could build a resistance to it.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't that the thing that we talk about when you say you cause contrast to solve it? We'll give you all a little dose of it. So if that's true in the case, then everybody should brush their teeth with a little arsenic. It'll whiten your teeth, and it'll also build a resistance up to arsenic. So now there can't be a pandemic of arsenic poisoning. And if you got on the news and said that, they'd have you arrested immediately. But isn't that not exactly what they're talking about doing?
Yes, and if it were that, maybe that, you know, that's a safe, not a safe, but that's sort of a scientific way to go about it. But then they end up putting mercury and aluminum in things that further scares people.
Well,
about
the scaring part of them, that thimerosal is nasty, okay? But it is a preservative. And if you can have the, if they're so smart and they're so good and they're so on it, then they ought to be able to give fresh strains without the thimerosal to inhibit it. Because a heavy metal is a heavy metal is a heavy metal. It doesn't matter how you ingest it, it's still a heavy metal.
So
it is what it is. Now, is there other opportunities? Well, of course there is. And they go, well, there's such a small amount of that. And I'm going, exactly. But if that was your only exposure to heavy metal, no problem. But that's not your only exposure. It comes in, what's the half-life of a heavy metal? There's not one. Or enough time has it gone by to give a half-life to a heavy metal. It still is.
Right. Actually, the question about what I learned in the autistic community is that about 10% of the population has a genetic inability to detoxify heavy metals.
Well, that's why you have the chelation clinic started, and they were trying to add different things to actually filter and allow you to naturally get rid of it. But we're not impressed.
So is there a way of enhancing the detoxification of heavy metals?
The same way of the one you say, how is there a relief for constipation? And we'd say, yes, eat. So I guess the only thing that we could say that would be, that would fall into the premise of what we're trying to describe to everyone, is embrace heavy metals and get lots of it. And I guess bathe yourself in it and have mercury baths and soak yourself in it to such a degree that your body normally can clean it up itself.
But what about the 10% of people who seem to have the inability to do that?
Well, they're screwed. You see, there is no answer. There is no solution. You can't get there from now. They'd hope for so much more. They have this plight. I mean, we're waiting, and it won't be long until people will develop allergies to oxygen. Just give it a minute. Allergic to water. I have to have hypoallergenic water because I'm allergic to water. Well, now do the math on that and see how you come along.
And
so you can twist everything into a place where it's going to doom you. That's not the point. The doom isn't the issue. The relax and allow process, allows you to go through that, and maybe through a little contrast, you develop a healthy immune system that allows you to function naturally.
And
with or without protonics, which is another issue.
You mean probiotics?
No, protonics. That's what they're using to cure things or to balance things.
Right.
And it's weakening the human's ability to ward off other things. They have to slow the system down for your tachycardia, if that's what you want to do it, or how your stomach relates with your heart muscle, so much so that you thin yourself down to where you can't hold platelets anyway. And if you don't have any platelets, then it really doesn't matter if your immune system's healthy or not, because if you cut yourself shaving, you're going to bleed to death.
You mean the protonics as in acid, gastric acid blockers?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How... Oh, okay.
Very good. Thank you for being so point on, because the average bear wouldn't even know where we were going with that. So we're very thankful that you do.
Okay.
Sort of reached for, because we know the answer, but we don't want to.
Well, in terms of detoxifying, what physical things would Ion say in the midst of?
Detoxify yourself. Make yourself toxic.
Well, some people, they think they're toxic enough, and if they added more toxins, that would just do them in.
Well, then it would, because that's what they thought.
Mm-hmm.
But if they relaxed and allowed to the whole process and imbibed more, let's say you have some contamination.
But I'm saying they can't relax and allow, so they're not going to do that.
And they're done.
No, I don't think so. I mean, yeah, they may be done, but there should be things that can be suggested besides toxifying. That's kind of too easy an answer.
Well, sorry, but it's the only one that works. You find contrast, and if somebody hands it to you on a silver-plated platter, you say, no, thank you, I didn't earn it.
Mm-hmm. If someone hands what to you?
Anything you're asking for.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Health, prosperity, happiness, fame, fortune, power. Anything is available at your fingertips, and then you say, no thanks, I have plenty.
Mm-hmm.
No thanks, I don't deserve that. No thanks, I'm not worthy. No thanks, my government did bad things to me, so I'm not qualified to handle that responsibility. No thanks, I don't want people working for me because I have to do it myself. No thanks, I can't love you because I know you're going to cheat on me, so if you're going to cheat on me, I might as well just end it right here.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's maybe a bigger topic. You're asking for a softer version of that, and we would rather go with the starkness of it, because then all of a sudden it's going to jolt them into a place of, well, am I going to live or not? And if I am I going to live and be in a chair? Because there's a lot worse things than croaking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Remember that. There's a lot more what you call dying. Now, there is no death, but there's a lot worse things than dying. Lots worse things.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they've lined that up as the excuse, you certainly can't eliminate that capacity or possibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, if that's the science that you're going to use to eradicate that reality, good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because your evolution doesn't provide any of the survival of the fittest. So, and you're saying, but there's value in those individual humans. There are. But if they're going to create by default, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they get in exchange for living will be worse than croaking. But you're asking how to get it. We're being tough here, but it's not bad. We're exaggerating the point of coming into your physical, non-physical through the sieving of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And once that takes a hold, then you could have it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and thrive. But until then, the least little wind of change is going to blow you over anyway.
Right, right.
Now, that was saying relax and allow, but without saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Conditioning. It's conditioning. It's mind conditioning.
Right.
The condition of the mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you get an abject fear with the H1N1 and the pigs are going to fly, they will land on you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't make any difference, okay, here, give me a big dose of it and I'll be fine. Well, then guess what? You may have runny nose for 2 or 3 days, take a little NyQuil and move right along.
Mm-hmm.
All good.
Mm-hmm.
All this conditioning that you're speaking about that 10%, that's about your population that runs around powerless.
Well,
anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't give them power. You can't make them powerful. Because if you do, then you become more powerful than them. So now your creations supersede their creation. So now if you're co-creating, you're always going to be superior. Well, if you're always going to be superior, honey, they'll see you as the biggest threat ever. You think the Taliban was tough? Try that on for a little while and see how it works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because See, that's where your government, the U.S. government, has gotten such a place. Now, they're all powerful. Okay, let's see how powerful you are. You can't even keep your buildings up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even keep your banks open. Boy, you know, it's really good. Humpty Dumpty, they've got on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you clean up your own self? Why can't you manage your landfills? If you're so superior and you're so together and you're going to help the 10% that's waxing and waning, teetering on the edge of going to the back to non-physical, the percentage is actually a little more than that if you want to know the truth of it, but that's okay because it's just a little contrast and all in the sweet by and by, it'll all work itself out. But you're asking how to get it now. You're asking about the dirty here and now, not the sweet by and by. So the activation of this little bitty process that you have a non-physical and you have a physical, and through the labyrinth of your mind you can sift that out and become whole,
mm-hmm.
then let come what may.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've taken your power back, and then all these issues that are can still be, but they don't have to affect you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That tastes really sweet to us.
Yep. Well, we better get our books out there quick so people can start learning this stuff.
Yes, indeed. It's a very delicious place, and we're so thankful. You can't know how delicious it is to have human creators that even don't necessarily always abjectly just agree by default.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens in that, the mixing it up, is what allows the human creator the ability to decide.
Mm-hmm.
Then that activates a potential for creation.
Mm-hmm.
It's so wonderful. It's so delicious. And yes, things may not be the way you want them, but every time you get them the way you want them, you change your mind anyway. So it gets really logical after a little. You know, you get a pair of shoes, and this is the perfect shoes. I'm going to wear them the rest of my life. And the next thing you know, those shoes hurt my feet. I don't like those anymore. This tennis shoe's not the one. It makes my back hurt. It's supposed to help my back, and it rocks me a different way. It disaligns my spine. And it was the perfect shoe that it took all of creation to orchestrate to put in your experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sue the shoe manufacturer because it misaligned your spine. Irreputably evidenced, the empirical evidence has shown that this was negative in my world and reality. Get the lawyers. We're going to need a lot of them. It's great fun. And we'll play and play and play and play. And we, as always, are happy.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.